of the Lord came down from Jephthah, and he led his army across the land of Gilead and Manasseh, past Mizpah in Gilead, and attacked the army of Ammon. Meanwhile, Jephthah had vowed to the Lord that if God would help Israel conquer the Ammonites, then when he returned home in peace, the first person coming out of his house to meet him would be sacrificed as a burnt offering to the Lord. So Jephthah led his army against the Ammonites, and the Lord gave him the victory. He destroyed the Ammonites with a terrible slaughter all the way from Aroer to Minna, including 20 cities, and as far away as Vineyard Meadow. Thus the Ammonites were subdued by the people of Israel. When Jephthah returned home, his daughter, his only child, ran out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in anguish. "Alas, my daughter," he cried out, "you have brought me to the dust, for I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." And she said, "Father, you must do whatever you promised the Lord, for he has given you a great victory over your enemies, the Ammonites. But first, let me go up into the hills and roam with my girlfriends for 2 months, weeping because I'll never marry." "Yes," he said, "go." And so she did, bewailing her fate with her friends for 2 months. Then she returned to her father, who did as he had vowed. So she was never married. And after that became a custom in Israel that the young girls went away for 4 days each year to lament the fate of Jephthah's daughter. Thank you.
Thank you, Bev. Now, if you have your Bibles as well, again, I would like you to flip to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, and again, we've gone over this a few times, but I believe it is beneficial for our minds, so let's read it again. Philippians 4, 7 to 9. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Verse 9. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray again, and let's dig deeper into the Word. Father, again, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all the scripture that was read this morning and the prayers that we give to you. And I thank you that we can know and believe and understand that you hear us, and you know our trials, you know our situations, you know our questions, you know the thoughts in our minds, whether we say them out loud, you know them. You are everywhere, and you are perfect and just and pure and holy in all your ways. And I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be able to read the scriptures, to understand you, so that we can see how good and faithful you are and how just you are. Help us through the Spirit to act out what you have allotted for us to do with good works. Again, open our ears and our minds and our hearts as we study together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You might be wondering how we are reading from Judges and then we're then in Philippians. And you will soon find out. Has everyone, I hope you have all enjoyed as we've gone through Philippians chapter 4. We've kind of been stuck in verse 8. I have enjoyed it. It's been very beneficial for me. Just with our last few that we've gone through, whatever is true, whatever is honorable was our last week one. This week we're going to look at 2, just and pure. And I know my study through this was very beneficial for my heart, for my mind, for how I talk with people, how I think about people, how I perceive people. And I hope that it benefits you guys, you all, the same way. Your thoughts matter. And yes, I've said this more than once. They do. They matter today. They'll matter tomorrow. They'll matter 5 years down the road. Do not take it lightly, your thought life. Keep your thoughts in check. Hold your thoughts high. And be responsible for what you think about. Hold your thoughts in high and holy ethics. What comes into the mind will enter the heart. Don't deceive yourself by thinking that it will not. It is much like our eyes. Be careful what we spend our time looking at, much like them being as a window to our soul. We need to think about the things that we're looking at in our lives, on the media, or all around us, whether we're at the mall, whether we're at the beach, whether we're up out for coffee. We need to be thinking about what we see or what's there presented before us, because we know the wicked like to do grand things to make themselves known. So, a few questions for you guys to think about as we go and get into this. And then we'll talk about Judges, and we'll talk about Philippians. Do you think about things that are just and pure? Those are our two words that we're going to dig into here. What do you seek to be? Do you seek to be just and pure? Do you seek to be just in your actions towards people and in your purity and your thought? Do you even know what just and pure is? Maybe you do not even think about it, as we should be thinking on these things. If you don't, there is a problem for ourselves. If we're not thinking on what is just and pure, running it through the Word, and then acting it out. Just and pure kind of work hand in hand. If we are unjust in our thoughts about others, we will have unpure thoughts about others. If we don't hold to what is just, we will think impure. If we think little of others, we will think impure thoughts of others. So now, Judges. Let's flip there together with our Bibles too. Judges 11, 29 to 40. There's a sacrifice that happens here. This was not a just sacrifice. This was not a pleasing sacrifice to God. And as I read through this, and as I've read through this from time to time, I want to start with the first part here. It says in verse 29, 11, 29, then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on from Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. But I want to look at something first at the very beginning. Then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah. That does not mean that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him when he made his vow. That was his choosing. That was not the Spirit of the Lord running him to do what he did and to make the vow that he did. I don't know if anyone thinks, yeah. I always look at this and I go, what was he thinking about? Like, what would make you think that you would even say a vow, such a thing? Why would you even first start with the first thing that greets me when I get back from a battle that I'm going out to, that the Lord is carrying me to do, and that he's going to win for us? There's going to be victory because the Lord was upon him through the Spirit. And he's going to come back, and he gives a vow, and he says in verse 30, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will give the Amorites into my hand, then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. I know if I walk into my house, there are most likely going to be people that greet me. I'm not totally positive here what the gates were exactly explaining. If it was the gates before he come into the gates with his own actual building house-wise, I don't know. But I do know and hope that I would never choose to do this. But think about Judges for a second. The book of Judges starts off with not so great things. When you flip to the beginning of Judges, and it says in, we'll use this one, Judges chapter 2, verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals, the Baals, and abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They separated themselves from God. Their desire was not for God. Their desire was to please themselves, as you can read at the end of Judges, when it says, in those days, this is Judges chapter 21, verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The Baals, the nations around them, offered sacrifices to their gods. When you have this in chapter 11, verses 29 to 40, this story, this situation, clearly Jephthah was not using what was just in God's eyes to go forward. And if you made such a vow as he did, I think that he should have been more willing to take his own life, not saying that suicide is okay, more willing to let himself take the consequence in whatever form that may be in making a vow to God instead of taking his own daughter and giving her up as a sacrifice, if that makes sense. Because he made a vow before God, he made his own choice to do so. He needed to take the responsibility for that and not choose to offer up his own daughter, as the nations around them would have done. Because God never asked anyone to fully give up their own son or daughter in such a way as this. We do, however, have the example of Abraham, because maybe your thoughts might have went there. Genesis chapter 22, if you would like to flip there. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 starts off with, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son and your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God tested him. I want you to have that in your mind's as you think about this as well. God tested him on this. Moses believed God. He believed that he was going to provide a sacrifice. In Genesis 22:8, it says, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. This does reference towards Christ, because Christ sent his only son so that we could have righteousness through him. But as well, Genesis 22, verse 12 says, do not, he said, Genesis 22, verse 12, he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He did not sacrifice his son, but he was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. He feared God. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And you'll see that through James, the book of James. So we must hold fast to the word of God. We must hold on to what he has that is right. The reason I said the book of James, I'll just flip there and tell you something. I'll get there shortly. James chapter 2. Oh, going the wrong direction. There we go. James chapter 2. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his own son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted, verse 23, to him, as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. He was justified because he believed God. We must believe God and so act. How do we regard just and pure thinking? When you look at the world and all the news and reality shows, one can be overcome with immorality. But we do not use the wisdom of man to infiltrate our minds and hearts. James 4:17 states, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And I believe John Wesley helps us as we talk about pure and just things, when he says, just is in regard to others, and pure is in regard to ourselves. What is purity within ourselves, in our minds? So, is your thought pure? The wickedness of man was happening in Paul's time. Let us not forget that. The Roman world was not different than today. There was sex, it was sex-saturated, pleasure-driven, immoral to the core. Paul wanted the Philippian church to be careful of their thoughts and life, just as much as for us today. Romans is a perfect example of impurity, impure. Romans chapter 1, 18, 26, 27, all that whole clump there in chapter 1 is a perfect example of being impure and what happens with your thought life and action and the things that come out as well, the thought, action. We have easy access now today to pornography. We have easy access to many sexual temptations. We can sit in our own houses behind closed doors and watch anything on our phones and TV. We need to be all the more careful with technology. Guard the gates of your mind by looking to what God sees as pure and holy, and what He wants you to see as pure and holy, and what He wants you to think about. Warren Wiersbe said something as well, too. He said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. So what are your thoughts? What are your habits? What is your character? Do you resemble the world? Are you living like a lukewarm Christian? Are your thoughts pure and holy? Do you live out what you think about? With all the filth and debauchery that we have going on around us, we must take our thoughts captive by using the Border Patrol we've talked about before. The Border Patrol is useful. It has its purpose for what is coming in and what they declare should come in. As to the gates of our minds, we must do the same. Letting it be tested by what is pure and holy. I once heard that people who are here, okay, this example. So, lepers. I once heard this about lepers, that they need to be taught later on in their life on how to work with an oven or hot things, because they later on cannot feel. So they can easily burn themselves. So they need help. They need guidance on how to act with those materials. And if they don't, they will hold on to a hot pan or hold on to something and end up being burned, which can cause problems, right? If you don't know you're being burned and then afterwards you realize and it's burnt your skin, there's effects that can come with that. Infections and all those kinds of things. Problems arise. I have a little bit of a funny story though for you. So this one time, I used to work at a gas station when I was 15 years old and we had to work with propane. I don't know if any of you have ever been around propane or worked with propane, whether filling up propane or seeing propane spray out or have been sprayed by propane. But this one time, it was about minus 20. That's pretty rare for this area. So it wasn't here. It was in Saskatchewan. And as I went out, it was a busy time at the gas station. I think I was the only person on shift. So I went out, so propane, and then there was gas, and then there was as well the till. And I ran outside to do the propane, and I left it running for a bit, and then I come back quickly to shut it off because I kind of knew after time how long it should run to fill up a tank, 20-pound, 30-pound, 100-pound, or a vehicle. You kind of had things figured out how you could do stuff and work in a process. So on my way back, I quickly shut off the one valve. I believe there was two valves that you had to shut off. I shut the one off, and I started unscrewing the next one off the tank, which then it started to spray, and propane does not feel nice when it's that cold. In general, it doesn't feel nice if you get sprayed by it, but in the cold, it burns. So it burns your skin. My gloves were already not very great, so it burnt my skin. It reminded me then what I should not do the next time. Stop and think, are the two valves off, or are they? Is one on, one's not off? So I would stop and think before I would act. Think. We must think before we act. We must think before we do the things that we're going to do with people. We must think before we talk to people. We must think before we go about in our lives and walk out our door. I have another example I want to give you. So I have two, well, I actually have four cans here, but I'm going to use this one and this one at the moment. So there's two cans. I believe you guys, hopefully you guys can see this. If you can't, you need some glasses. But there's two cans here. They're both the same in the sense of they're Diet Coke and caffeine-free. So if you want some caffeine-free Coke later, I have one for you. Actually, two. This one, if we set it down, this is the full one. If we set it down and set the other one down, can everyone see? If not, hopefully. So if I was to stand on the can that was empty, we'll show you, hopefully I don't fall, it would crush. If you stand on the next can that is not empty, there is no crushing. This one is clearly not empty. This one is empty. So when we, I'll set them over here too, so you can see better over here. Do not take our thoughts captive and run them through what is pure in God's eyes, and what God sees as purity, and what God sees as just, when we come up in our lives with situations and thoughts that will come in, because Satan loves to deceive and is a liar from the beginning. If we do not run them by God and we do not be careful of the things we think about, we will be crushed. But if we do run them by the Lord, we will not be crushed. We have confidence. We have confidence in our God, as Abraham had confidence in God and believed him. Jephthah had a different confidence. He was infiltrated by the world that was around him, because in Judges we know that they did what was right in their own eyes. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord worked for him for battles. There was other judges that were brought up. I'm not saying that God was not there in that time, but I am saying that there is an example there with Jephthah that you can see was not pleasing to God in him, the vow that he even made. And vows, talking about vows, that's a whole other story that we could get into. Should we make vows? Should we not? Like, that's a whole other thing. We're not going to touch that at this moment today. But I hope that example makes sense for you, just how important it is to have our standards God's standards. I lost myself in my notes. I'll get there. My mess up. I got excited about the example here with the cans. God is able to show us grace because he is merciful. God is just. He is righteous. Do you have just thoughts about others? Often our minds will think about others, and when we think about others, we will from time to time talk about others. We all know the big word gossip. It happens. We can fall into it. This book of Philippians is about living for others. We've been going through that lots. Look how Paul spoke about the Philippians when you read from Philippians chapter 1, verse 7. Right away, he starts off with the Philippians. I know I've said this a few times. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. When we have brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a family. We are partakers in the grace of God. And when we think about them, when situations happen, because situations will happen that don't always go so great, is your first thought when a situation doesn't always go so great negative about that person? Just think about that for a second. Is your first thought when a situation happens and someone's done something wrong to you, let's say, I'll make this so it makes a little more sense. If somebody has done something wrong to you, is your first thought then, they did it on purpose because they're wicked Or is your first thought, maybe they screwed up, maybe they messed up, maybe they said the wrong things, maybe they slipped up and said something personal about you that they knew and they knew they shouldn't have? I think about that often for myself, on my reactions towards people. When I find out they've done something that's hurt you. Think good of people. Don't always think negative. We know the world is wicked. We already know that it's been judged because God judges. God is the judge, the righteous judge, the perfect judge. And he has already judged wickedness. We don't need to judge the world. Example with Jonah. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I don't want to go. So he tried going the other direction. He didn't get so far because he was thrown into the water, swallowed by a large fish, not whale, large fish. And after, he was then vomited up on the shore. He did go. But Jonah was trying to be a righteous judge. He was trying to be like God and choosing that he could judge the nation. God says, I show mercy to who I choose to show mercy. It wasn't up to Jonah. Jonah isn't the righteous judge. God is. If we're not in Christ, we live for Satan, who is prowling about. We have a mind that is amassed. When we're saved, we have a new master. When we're not saved, we live by our old master's ways and by our own fleshly desires. Do you, my question for you today as well with just, do you think more highly of others than yourselves? We've been talking about that in Philippians. Do you think more highly of others than yourselves? Look at Christ, our perfect example. He was willing to give his own life because he did the will of the Father. He was doing what God had called him to do. If I am to bear this cup, I must. Because not my will, but your will, Father. And now let's remember Philippians 2:4. Let each of you think not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Again, like I said, it's easy to think negative and ill of others than to think positive and not to exhort others. That can be a natural thing for us to do. But as we live in God, because he lives in us, we talked about abide, we sang abide. He abides in us and we abide in him. The Spirit lives within us. We are a dwelling place, a temple where the Spirit dwells. And when the Spirit dwells, the Spirit can lead and guide. So we grow in our understanding. And as I've been thinking about this through the week, it's really been helping me with my own responses and conversations with my wife or my kids. And I am seeing how I can be quick to repent if I slip up and say something or get frustrated. It's really helped me to think on who God is and put my delight in him and not in the things of the world. We have lots of messed up things going on in our world. Teachings that are not okay, injustice that's going on all around us. But we have a Heavenly Father who we can trust in and depend on and look to for guidance and strength. So let's apply this a little bit more, and then we'll worship together in some song. Do you choose to think about what is just and pure in your eyes or through the lens of Scripture? If you don't know what is pure, study through the Scriptures. If you don't know what is just, study through the Scriptures. Read your Bible whenever you have the opportunity. Are you letting Satan tell you the lie that it is okay to have unjust thoughts about others? Don't believe it. Are you letting Satan tell you that telling you the lie that it is okay to have impure thoughts flow through your minds? Think about David and think about Joseph. Joseph had Potiphar's wife coming at him day after day. Joseph ran away. David was supposed to be out when kings are supposed to be out in the battlefields, was not. And look at what happened to him. There's two differences there, but at the same time, you can see the repentance of David. But let's take Joseph's example. He could have let his thoughts go. He could have let impure things come in, but he chose not to. Do you have control of your thoughts? Practice what is just and pure, so you can have a character and a life to be able to help others. We want to be useful for the kingdom. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, I just thank you again for this opportunity. I thank you for each person that was here. And I just ask if there is anyone who's convicted by anything that they're doing in their lives here today, that they would know that they can confess it to you. And if there's others they need to confess to, that they would do so. But to know that you are a loving God and a gracious God and a forgiving God. And even in your wrath, you're just. I just thank you that we have the scriptures, that we can see and be enlightened by them and learn from them and understand how to live this life out in such a wicked world, that is the wickedness that is going on around us. Live in the wickedness that is going on around us. But we don't have to partake in it. We don't have to be like Lot, who tarried when he was told to leave the city. Let us be quick to turn away from sin and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to invite you to sing with us, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear." I agree with Matt. If you have felt convicted about this, "All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." It is going to be up on the overhead there, but it is number 630. If you want to use your hymn books, you're welcome to do that as well.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often
our benediction now, and then keep standing and keep singing. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake, and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
You are dismissed.